listeners. Welcome back. This is Robin Wong, and you are listening to VegHead Speaks, my podcast about all things plant-based eating. As many of you may know, I've been plant-based for, 8 or 9 years now, and it's been a work in progress. Like many people that learn, start going plant-based and are learning the ropes, I've had pitfalls, I've had successes, and that's what this podcast is about. It's basically trying to help you navigate your best path and maybe save you a few steps of, on the learning curve. So that said, here in California, spring has sprung and the warm weather is starting to happen, and more people are getting outside. And with the warm weather comes more talk about dieting, losing weight. And while I'm a non-diet approach sort of gal, diets are alive and healthy and going strong, and people believe in them, and everybody has their own way of doing it. So, for example, I've had a lot of broken stuff in my house, and I had a repairman here the other day, and he was telling me he's on a diet. And so, you know, not knowing what I do for a living or how I choose to eat, I asked him a few questions, and he starts sharing with me kind of his approach to losing weight, which I'm always interested in hearing what people have to say, because like I said, it's a very individual thing and people have their own ideas about food. And what I've learned on my road to becoming a dietitian and getting my master's degree in nutritional science is that there's no really convincing people so to change how they think about things. So I just listened and I use it as kind of a fact-finding mission, because what he tells me, it lets me realize how other people are thinking and how they approach their food intake, which I find fascinating. So his approach was to cut out all sugars. Not a bad plan, but we just celebrated St. Patrick's Day, and he went into great lengths to describe to me the corned beef meat that he cooked, and I didn't have the heart to tell him that I don't do meat, but he filled up on that, and he told me he had lost 7 pounds in a week just by cutting out sugar and beer. So I was like, okay, that's awesome. Good for you. Are you feeling better? And he said he was, and, you know, he fixed my dishwasher and off he went. But it made me start thinking, about what I wanted to share with my listeners. Because I know weight loss is a very prevalent topic in our society for many reasons, to look better, being one, to get into the cute clothes you want to wear. And for others, it's because your doctor's telling you that weight loss will help your health. Along with greater weight comes, diabetes and cardiovascular disease risk. So I know for some people, that's their concern. But I can tell you, eating plant-based is pretty easy. And it often comes with some weight loss if you adhere to it. However, I've got to say that for some people eating plant-based, they still maybe hit a plateau on their weight loss. And I learned of this when I attended a recent lecture. And I've actually been attending a couple different plant-based lectures. And people have shared with me and then a lot of the lecturers talking about it, they talked a lot about calorie density. So what that tells me is that it's still a topic that needs to be discussed. And so that's what I want to bring to you today. So if you're on this path, whether or not you are really adhering to and embracing the lifestyle of plant-based eating, whole food plant-based eating, and there's now a new acronym that I just became aware of when I was at another conference back in Cleveland. It's the WFPBNO, and that's Whole Foods Plant-Based No Oil approach to eating. And so I think that's an interesting I actually a very critical distinction, because as I've talked about in other podcasts, oil adds nothing but calories. So let's just boil it down. Let's go back to what a calorie is. Calories are a way of measuring fuel, and we eat food to fuel our bodies. And so, you know, scientists like to measure that sort of thing. And what does it take to fuel a certain body, and how many calories do you need to kind of keep your body alive? And it gets really technical fast. But what we just need to know is kind of every body uses fuel differently, and it's based on how much you move. It's based on how your body processes food. It's based on your kind of body composition. If you're more muscular, you might need, you know, higher calories. It's a very individual thing. But the point being is that if you eat more calories than you burn or your body's using, you will store them. It's a defense mechanism for your body to stay alive, right? So, you know, people have a layer of fat. I mean, it's helps protect your organs, and you know, if you miss a meal, it kind of keeps you going. But in our society, many people have too much of a layer of fat, okay, which leads to the obesity epidemic that everybody keeps talking about. And you know, you don't probably need that much to store. It just adds risk to your health for some people, not everyone. People that maybe are carrying extra weight can have perfect numbers, you know, and would argue this. If you go read some of the health at every size literature, you know, there's a lot to be said about that. So, you know, it's tough because you make these blanket statements and then people get up in arms. But, you know, from a public health perspective, you can kind of say that overall excess weight on people at the obese, you know, and higher overweight and higher range tend to be an indicator for health risks. Let's just leave it at that. So I could get mired down in that, but let's move on talking about calorie density, because when you're eating foods, you know, they're measured in calories, and their energy is measured in calories. So, you know, you hear a lot about, oh, people need 2,000 calories a day. Well, that's, you know, on average, some smaller people might need less, some bigger people might need more, but they just give you a standard. So, and I know I've talked about this in other podcasts, but today I bring it up just because I think it's, even in the plant-based way of eating, there's a spectrum, okay? So, you know, it's eating vegetables, they're very low calorie and very nutrient dense. You'll hear these terms of calorically dense, calorically rich, meaning they have more calories in them. And then you'll have a nutrient dense or nutrient rich, meaning they have a lot of nutrients in it. And vegetables fall on the end of the spectrum that have high nutrients, low calories. On the other end of the spectrum, if you are looking at maybe a possible a number line of something, on the other end of the spectrum, or you know, continuum, you have foods that still have a lot of nutrients and are considered plant-based, but they also have a lot of calories. So in that group, you would have, say, the nuts. You know, your nuts offer you a lot of things. They offer you fibers, and they, you know, they offer you vitamins, and they have what people tend to call the good fats. And so people that start on this plant-based process, they start eating a lot more nuts, thinking they need the protein and they need the fats, and they're getting those things, but they're also getting a lot of calories. And so when you're eating foods that, you know, it's really easy to overindulge anyone that's eaten a handful of nuts and then looked at what a serving size is for nuts, goes, oh my gosh, there's no way I could just eat one, you know, a quarter cup of nuts that, you know, because you eat like three or four times that amount possibly in a sitting. So if you're concerned about your calorie intake, that's one area you can look at. How many nuts are you eating? And maybe instead of eating them just to you know, as a snack, or use them more as a flavoring. Maybe sprinkle them over your oatmeal instead of eating them by the handfuls by themselves. Put them in something so you'll reduce it. You know, honestly, I think Dr. Esselstyn, who wrote How to Prevent and Reverse Heart Disease, he believes if you already have cardiovascular disease, you should have zero oil. And I think he allowed his patients maybe like one walnut a day or something like that. It was just craziness. And he is really strict because you already have the disease and oil is your enemy. Okay. And that's why you get the whole foods, plant-based, no oil, you know, kind of subgroup, because you already have the disease. You want to reverse it or stop it in its tracks, and oils contributes to that. So that's something to consider. Secondly, on that continuum where you go from, low calorie to high calorie in the plant-based continuum, you also have grains and food, you know, breads and pastas and all those things. You know, you're buying the whole grain pasta, you tell me, and that's awesome. That's a great switch, but it's still a processed food, okay? So, the flour and bread products, just know that they're just higher in your calorie density, and they're lower in satiety. So meaning that you can eat bread and it fills your stomach up less than if you ate a big bowl of salad that fills your stomach up more. Try to get that visual, you know, of leafy greens. They're really high in water and they're really kind of, you know, think of them as fluffy almost. And that's what happens in your stomach. They you know, kind of fill the space. Whereas drier foods such as breads, and I would even lump dried fruit for all of its goodness, is another high calorie food. And all the water has been taken out. If you ate the apple versus eating a dried apple, you could eat three apples dried versus eating a full on, it'd be pretty, three apples would really fill you up. Does that make sense? So that's what I'm trying to get across is the whole satiety in your stomach. And the other thing that people tend to do when they become plant-based is, I hear this all the time, is people said, okay, so I should be doing a smoothie every morning. And it's like, yeah, if you really like that, to me, I find smoothies a lot of work. I would rather just pick up the fruit and eat it than to put it all in this blended thing and then, you know, blend it all up. And then I got to wash the blender and put it in a cup, you know, and then, you know, I mean, if that's the only way you can get your fruits and vegetables, and I, you know, when I do them for the kids, I'd always throw in vegetables too. And they're kind of fun for a treat. And if it's hot out or something like that, my go-to is not a smoothie, because I find it an effort to have to get my blender out and stuff like that. But if that's the only way you can get, you know, stomach eating spinach, then by all means do that. But just know that when you emulsify or blend or puree something, you're kind of disrupting all the fiber in that fruit and vegetable. And again, it's a whole satiety thing, you know, whereas if you're eating it whole and it goes through the whole process of being broken down in your stomach, you know, you're basically blending it and doing your stomach's work for it. So it takes more of it to fill your stomach up. I find that with eating yogurt. Some people are really big into eating yogurt, and, you know, and the soy yogurt is great. It does have high sugar in it. You know, you can make your own, and the Instapot has a yogurt setting and it takes like 14 hours and it's not sweetened. I actually do use that, and I mix it with, when I make my untuna type sandwich spread, I make that yogurt. But people are really big into yogurt, and I just don't feel it fills you up. And so if you're going to eat it, I mean, put some granola or something in it to kind of give it a little more substance. But then that again, I mean, so you think about cereals, let's go there. So grape nuts, I just heard this in one of the lectures, you know, grape nuts, yeah, they're plant-based, but they're processed. They're not a whole food, you know. And if you'd be better off eating your oatmeal, which has been processed, but processed less. Okay. So it's just like splitting hairs, and it's really not an issue if you're not worried about calorie density. But if you are eating this way, A, for health, and B, for weight loss, or vice versa, this is some of the things you need to be aware of. And, you know, the idea between not dieting, you know, is having a regimented plan, you know, that the dietitians used to give out. I mean, I'm not really for that, but choosing better foods and not restricting yourself, you know, just making an informed choice, I guess, is the question. It's like, okay, I could blend that apple, or I could just eat the apple. Ah, it saves time just to eat the apple, or berries, or whatever it might be. So that would definitely fill you up. A few other things are like just liquid calories in general. I heard a lecture last summer, Dr. Tom Campbell, tell people, don't drink your liquids. I mean, don't drink your calories. I'm sorry, you have to drink a liquid, but don't drink your calories. A lot of people they really consume way more calories than they think by drinking fruit juice. Yes, it's plant-based, but it's also, you know, low satiety. And also, you know, it's just, it adds calories, and that goes for vegetable juices and even your non-dairy milks. I personally use non-dairy milk a little bit on my oatmeal sometimes, but typically I make my oatmeal thin enough, I don't need it. And then I'll use it in stuff. I never, even with regular cow's milk, I never drank a glass of milk. It just wasn't my thing. And so I never really liked it. So the same thing holds true for drinking non-dairy plant-based milk, you know, or plant-based milks. You're adding calories. So just remember that. You know, that's a lot of calories you're drinking. And if you're watching your calories or being conscious of them, that's kind of a hidden way that people get them. Another, just know that there's higher fat foods, and those are your dried fruits, your nuts, your seeds, your oils. And in that falls your breads and bagels and tortillas, even if they're whole grain. The only saving grace is that they are whole grain, and they're giving you a lot more fiber than, you know, those other products would, the similar products would. And just, you know, if you want to cut down on that, just know that that's where your calories are coming from. So with that said, like I said, Jeff Novick, he's a plant-based dietitian, and he had these 10 factors, of many of which I've read to you, I'm sharing with you, that he had written about. The other thing he does talk about is hyper-palatable food, or palatable foods. So foods that taste really, really good typically have, they're over-salted, over-sweetened, or over-sauced. So those are the examples would be cookies and cakes and pastries. Okay. And most people won't, you know, even though they could be plant-based, like you can go buy an apple pie, and it's made with vegetable oils, and then it has, you know, the crust is, and then it has the sweetened filling, and it's plant-based, but it's not low calorie and it's refined. So, you know, having it once in a while, if it's just a treat, I guess go for it. But how often are you doing that? That's what you have to ask yourself. Is it really something that I'm only doing on occasion, or is it a weekly? Is it a daily? Is it an hourly thing? And, you know, what is your ultimate goal? That's what you have to kind of look at. Is my ultimate goal to just really avoid the saturated fats, and I don't really want to need to lose weight, and I'm not interested in that, then it's fine for you. But it's a very personal goal, that whatever it is you have. And then just remember that anything super processed like oils adds a lot of calories, and you'd be surprised where those calories lurk. So flours and oils and sweeteners are typically your higher caloric things. You know, you'll see a lot of recipes, especially because, you know, people like sweets, and you'll see a lot of vegan or plant-based recipes for baked goods. And they really play on the fact that they're using organic, sugar or raw sugar that's, it's still processed sugar cane, or they'll use maple syrup or agave, anything to not be like, because, white sugar is the enemy for so many people. They're still sweeteners and they're still high calorie. And, so pick your battles. I mean, if you feel better that you're avoiding white sugar, then, and you personally, your body feels better avoiding it, then by all means, substitute something else in. At least with maple syrup, you might get a little bit of the maple-y flavor. And I just had a friend, I saw a video of them up in, they're up in one of those really cold states, Michigan or Wisconsin or one of those. And they were tapping the trees and getting the doing syrup. It looked like great fun. They, had all their gear on and out. And I mean, I'm not a cold weather person, but they made it look really fun. I was like, I kind of like to try that. And, if that's something you do then and use it, then by all means do it. So it's your life. It's your food. Do what's best for you. I'm just here to kind of not to police you, just to give you information and give you things to think about on, how you might make choices that are better for your health. So with that said, that's pretty much all I had for you. I look forward to your comments, and I hope the calorie density makes sense. So it's on a spectrum. Now, if you're eating, I was going to sign off, but I think I'll just add this in really quick. So for example, if you're eating meat, you're getting iron and you're getting some other nutrients. You're getting zero fiber. You're getting a lot of saturated fat, which is bad for your heart health. And you're getting a lot of protein, more protein than you actually need per serving. And the problem is people eat meat like all through the day, and you probably could just live with, one small serving if you really wanted to get your protein, but, you're not getting much bang for your buck, calorie wise, for that meal. So compared to a plant-based meal where you're eating more vegetables, where you're getting all the antioxidants and all the nutrients and vitamins and fiber, which is such a big deal for our colon health. And you get filled up, so you're not hungry as, you might, some people they might be hungry sooner, but, the time being, you don't eat as much at that meal. You might eat more. I mean, this depends. I have some kids that they're hungry like every couple hours, it seems like. And it's like, you're hungry again. We just fed you. So that's a very personal thing too, of how quickly you want to eat again. The beauty with plant-based eating is you can, eat and eat and eat. I mean, that's why I like it. I kind of eat all day, it seems like. So that said, I hope you're having a great day, and I welcome your comments. As always, you can follow me on Instagram. I've been posting kind of what I've been cooking. I have had a little bit of time in the kitchen this weekend. I'm going to be shooting a video with my daughter's Chinese lion, Mei Shui. I'm giving Mei Shui a cooking lesson, so that should be interesting. It should be up on my website, veghead-speaks.com, after a couple of days, after we get it all edited. And then I haven't been very good about getting recipes. I'm terrible with recipes, so I don't really like posting them, but I'll try to get some more stuff up on the blog. Again, have a good day, and thanks for listening.